Welcome to A Course in Miracles, everybody.
Thank you.
We have, just two new people now. We have Laura's joining us. She's studied course for about 10 years, so it's like maybe on and off. And Andrew Huang, who is our true teacher, because he's only had the book for 2 weeks. There, from him comes the most honest questions.
Thank you, Andrew. Juan.
So welcome, of course. Welcome, welcome. Okay, tonight we have, we only have two paragraphs to finish this section. But in those two paragraphs, cleverly, Jesus, always on the ball, always for your awakening to the next level higher of understanding, Jesus is using these last two paragraphs to introduce to us on this. It's already been a great venture. If you've been going along with us in this section, this is where we're talking about consistency of means and end. Where you're called, if you want peace, you must choose peace. If you get fear, it's because you chose fear. Very simple math. Therefore, that's means and end, right? If the end is going to be peace, then you have to have peace along the way. If it's love, you're going to have to choose love along the way. Consistency of means and end. But of course, you have to be vigilant to do this. To have the end, you would have to have access to the means. And this section very, very nicely explains to us that we do have the power to choose peace. We have the power to, even in an argument, to join with the other rather than compete with them. You know, chapter 20 is touching on the special relationship. We have it. The ego does not have the ability to choose the desired outcome. The ego only knows what it does not want. Therefore, when you're listening to their ego, you're always going to end up with chaos, division, guilt spread around either to somebody else or to you. And that's how the world is built in terms of the ego. But it says, look, if you want joy, the peace of God, if you want to have your spiritual identity, become aware of your spiritual identity, then your end is not one that agrees with the ego, but rather it's one where you would use your Holy Spirit as your guide. You would use the characteristics of the teacher of God as your guide. Trust, honesty, tolerance, gentleness, open-mindedness, generosity, patience, defenselessness. You know the list. So different from what the ego wants to do. But in any of those, the same simple math applies. As you give, you receive. Consistency of means and end is what's being pointed out here so far, right? That's been our gist, beautifully consistent. You want patience? You be patient, and guess what your experience is? You want honesty. Deep experience of honesty will come from you being honest. You want to be generous. You know that old saying? I love it. I don't know where it came from. But it says, miserable is he who expects kindness. Happy is he who is kind. Kind of reminds me of Buddhism, right? The real problem Buddhism points out that these the treacherous experience is attachment and expectation. Very clever. Covered in our first lessons of A Course in Miracles. It all leads to the very simple math that we've been learning these last few weeks with this one. The very simple math. It's the law of love that's throughout the book. It's the law of mind that is throughout the book. It's the law of spirit that is taught to you throughout the book. That law is all the same. That as you give, you receive. Simple math. Thank goodness. It's simple. It's not easy. It depends on how drunk you are in being an ego. How much guilt you have going on. How much fear you have that you're drunk on. But it is simple. All right, so that's what we've been doing. Now, to wrap up the section, Jesus adds another wonderful layer of teaching, which, you know, just your ability to be consistent allows you to pick up this next piece of teaching we're going to study tonight. So get ready. Take a breath. Because everything I just said is just something you just have to, you know, because it's that simple. But now we're going to embark on one of the tools of A Course in Miracles, one of the tools that is given you in your spiritual awakening. It is one of the blessings of you having chosen a spiritual path. Course in Miracles puts it into a single word, uses it unique from any other teaching I've seen. It is vision. Vision. This book is very specific about seeing. That's your body's eyes. And when it uses the word vision, it's your mind. So we must be aware of the difference how this word is used. Because a lot of times he'll just drop it in a sentence. Among talking about the world and the ego, he'll drop in the word vision. And, you know, here we are. How many? 440 pages into the book. So after a while, he starts to expect you're paying attention. And that a word like vision now will carry pages of teaching with it. That's what we're here to do tonight, is to capture that word and make sure everybody has a good understanding of what the Course means by vision. And then we're going to apply it as these two paragraphs would have us do. It's a wonderful gift we can give each other tonight, and the book can give us. It's also a really good gift for you on your journey with A Course in Miracles to really get this word. And you know, it's just a word. It's a symbol. It's a symbol of a power that you have. Not your body's eyes, right? What you do with your mind is where vision is. So, let's just take a few minutes to get ourselves in the space to receive. To receive what this book and the rest of us are going to give each other. I just want you to focus on this word vision, and we'll say a few words about it during the meditation. For the new people, this is often what we do on Thursday night, is we'll just pick a word or a phrase, and we'll sit with it for 5 minutes or so. Just let it soak in. Let your Holy Spirit talk to you about it. I'll ask questions, but you don't answer them until after I ring the bell again, and then we'll go around and you can say a few words about what you experienced, and then we'll jump into tonight's reading. That's our normal pattern. Okay. So, I encourage you to set up straight for these little 5 minutes. Really helps to have your body be secondary and your mind be primary when you set up straight. Yeah, we want the body to serve now. have it be called into service to hold you up willingly. Yeah, it doesn't care. It'll do whatever you say. But it's a symbol to you that you're of your devotion, actually, for these next 5 minutes. So give yourself that gift if you can. What is vision? What does it mean to you today? What is vision? Remember, when we do these little 5-minute meditations, sometimes they're 10 or 15 minutes, okay. When we do these little meditations, it's just one word. It gives you an opportunity to see for yourself where you are tonight. It'll be different next week. It was different last week. Just for tonight, this is a chance for you to see where you are, wherever this leads you on your spiritual path. This is an invitation for you to take a look where you are. What does vision mean to you? And the clue I'm going to give you for sure to make sure you're on the right page, it's nothing to do with what the body's eyes report. What the eyes witness is not vision. And what is vision? And it's really best not to look for a memorized phrase from A Course in Miracles for these, because it's most beneficial to find out where you are. That's the best thing to surface. What currently do you think A Course in Miracles means by the word vision? That's most helpful right now. What does A Course in Miracles mean by vision to you? What would be most helpful for you right now in your path? That's what it really means to you. Take another minute or so and just pick a word or a phrase to try to narrow down an aspect of vision on your path, what it might mean in A Course in Miracles. Vision to share with the group if you wish. This little word is one of the keys to unlocking the Course in Miracles teaching and language. But it will also, as you go along in your spiritual awakening, it will get more empowered in your experience as well. So there are no right answers here. There are no wrong answers. There's just honest answers of what you can make of this. So if you wish, this is optional, this part. We'll start with Miley. What does vision mean to you? And you're muted. You'll have to each person, you're all muted. I muted everybody. So you'll have to unmute yourself as you go along.
Okay. Well, what came up for me tonight is an aspect of vision. I mean, first I was thinking it's seeing reality, seeing truth. But what was coming up as we in the meditation is people. It's like seeing the reality of the people in my life, which is seeing their highest shining through them, as opposed to the personality and getting involved in the stories and all of that. So
nice. Excellent. Yeah. Good. You're doing your work, Miley.
It's not fun sometimes.
Yeah.
But it always is in the end. Thank
but
you.
It has a gravity, and this is true for everybody, the choices you're making to see the highest in the people, even as they show your ego the ugliest, that has a gravity to it, that has a sincerity to it, that if you were to argue with them or attack them, does not have as much pull.
I don't understand. Hey, Siri,
tell me. Hi, Siri.
Or was that Siri talking?
It was Siri. Yeah.
Putting in her 2 cents.
Yes, the digital ego has moved on to Siri.
Well, that's what you get for putting Moses as the first tablet in the cloud. From the cloud.
But, you know, the course, you know, the relationships of people that we have in our lives that are close to us, the ones that we say we love and that say they love us, or at least they're supposed to say they love us, you know, those people. They've got a certain leverage on us. And the ego loves to take advantage of that vulnerability. This is where our calling is tonight. This is where we're working tonight, coincidentally, is that you would be able to see the highest in somebody, and it may have nothing to do with what they just said to you with a bunch of four-letter words and your name intermixed. Very good, Miley. I like the way it sounds. Luann, tell us what vision means to you in A Course in Miracles. You have to unmute yourself.
I opened the book today and came to a line, chapter 6, line 1, in a section called Believing the Unbelievable. And as I was trying to figure out what that section meant from where I am now versus the first time I read it, I think it has to do with what we're talking about tonight, because what I came to by struggling with that business, with that section, was, for me, my job was come to know that myself is everybody's self, that my mind is everybody's mind.
Oops, you dropped out. Luann has gone into stasis.
Hold on.
Are you there, Luann? Okay, we'll come back to her when her internet loops back around.
Okay.
Are you back, Luann?
I don't know, am I?
You are now.
Okay.
You were saying your mind is everybody's mind?
Myself is everybody's self.
Mm-hmm.
When I come to my vision for me is the path I need to take to get to that.
Good, good. Excellent. Good, 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 good. Jacqueline, what does vision mean to you in A Course in Miracles parlance?
Piercing the veil of the illusion to see the truth, and, you know, with Holy Spirit guiding and also the Holy Spirit that I am. And I was wondering, can the Holy Spirit that I am or the Holy Spirit that guides, it's one and the same, use my actual physical eyes also for vision, so that through the physical eyes we can see the vision of truth also? I was wondering that.
Well, yes and no. It depends on what you mean by that. It will absolutely use your physical eyes as a reminder to choose the third eye, to choose the spiritual eye. It will use what you see with your eyes and have you translate that with your Holy Spirit. So in that way, it will absolutely use your eyes.
Yeah.
Because we're physical oriented. We're physically biased. We're time, space, and body biased right now because we're inside the dream. We believe we're a character in the dream. So yes, from that way, your eyes will be the call for vision, but then you will instantly, or at least quickly, call on your Holy Spirit and allow vision of your mind's translation to see what's really there. Like with Miley, these people could be very troublesome to her. She could see things that she would not want to see. But with the Holy Spirit there, what is seen with the eyeballs will be translated and understood correctly. Very good. Good, good. Mark, what's vision mean to you?
Seeing with clarity.
Yeah, clarity.
It's all been said, but, you know.
Yeah.
No, an unobstructed view.
Yeah. Clarity. Yeah, that's one of the things, and one of the coins in the Course in Miracles shows us is clarity or integrity versus chaos.
Yeah.
Consistency, one of our words in this section, versus inconsistency. And so, boy, what a relief to be able to see things with clarity.
And I think with that comes like a sense of peace.
Yeah. Yeah. And no need to argue. Yeah. Yeah. It's good. Good, good, good. Yeah. I like the way that sounds. Clarity. Andrew, you got any idea of what this means?
I can try.
Sure.
Well, immediately when you said vision, I thought of like the third eye, clairvoyance, seeing through the veil of illusions.
Nice.
But then a quote just randomly came to me that I love, and the quote is, to see is certainly always to see at a distance, but by allowing distance to give back what it removes from us, to see is to experience the continuous and to celebrate the sun that is beyond the sun, the one.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that word, continuous. Yeah, excellent. Well, what's the name of the game with A Course in Miracles? Oneness. You can have all these pages and words and lessons and everything else, but at the end of the day, this is a pure non-dual teaching. That's it. Oneness. Continuity. You would see the sameness in everything. Beautiful. Good, good. Ross, what does a vision mean in A Course in Miracles to you?
So you said not to use a quote. So what has come up for me is that everything is animated by thought energy. So it's really, if everything's in my mind, then everything is animated by that thought energy. And you can go to science and look at that, how people look at an experiment and it changes it and all that.
Nice.
So the goofy thing is, when I look at a tree, it's like, hey, I'm God masquerading as a tree. Because God's in my mind too. So.
Yes, Ross. Excellent, excellent, excellent. That's one of the things we get from vision, is the ability to deduce the oneness like that. Exactly. You could look at something like a tree, and you could now, the thought energy is the way Ross is doing it. It's wonderful. You could now deduce the existence of that appearance through thought energy. Beautiful way to say that. You can deduce the truth from what appears to be a separate existence.
So, and then a quote, now a quote from Eckhart Tolle is, even an illusion has a little bit of truth, otherwise it wouldn't be. So that goes right into lesson 29, which is, God is in everything I see.
Yes.
So yep. Even though I made that tree, it's just an amazing thing because it does this photosynthesis thing. So I'm so powerful. The mind is so powerful that it's made this incredible thing that, you know, does photosynthesis, it takes water and it produces leaves and it does all this stuff. So there's a little bit of God in it.
Just a yes. Little bit. Yeah. And that's almost a quote from A Course in Miracles. You know, Eckhart Tolle's a Course student. He loved
yeah.
A Course. That's one of my, I don't have it memorized yet, but it's a single sentence that has basically, you almost said it word for word, is that even the illusion comes, well, from thought energy. It's in mind. And it's only one mind. So even illusion is traced back to truth in that way. Very good. Excellent. I love it. See, deduction, or what's another word? Reconcile. You can reconcile what the body's eyes seem to see with this path of thought energy. Love it. Good, good. Good use of vision there. Love it. Sundari, tell us about vision.
The word itself, V-I-S-I-O-N, is like V. Is I on or is I off? And for me, that really is vision. Is I on or is I off?
Oh, Sundari, you should be a rapper. This PhD in chemistry, when you could be out there rapping.
And it's interesting.
Music is numbers.
I'm really stuck this week, it's interesting because mind is mind, and when I is on, boy, and when I is off, everything is off, and it's an off week where there are three situations where I am just asking Holy Spirit for help to see things differently, for a different vision of those
good.
Three, and a fourth that's a kind of similar, a bit different, in that I've forgiven the person completely, but they haven't me, and now have a diagnosis that's terminal, and you know, do I go and tell them what they want to hear, so it's sweetness between us, which is basically, you're right, or I was wrong, or, you know, forgive
it's
me.
It's a trap of the ego that they have to die in peace in order for you to be forgiven by them.
Well, there's something off about the whole thing where, you know, other people in that group have said, oh, well, you're supposed to go to them and say, forgive me, you know. And it's like, but no,
the trap of the ego that person, even on their deathbed, has to say anything to you.
Yeah, I mean, I love them completely.
Because that means they exist as a separate entity and have power over you.
Yeah. Somebody I keep going up to and saying, would you like to be friends again? Would you like to? No, not now. No.
Yeah. Yeah. And also, you know, that means words would be important, right? That you would say something with your vocal cords, and then with their good hearing, they would hear the right things from your vocal cords, and then they would say, oh, Sundari, now I get it, I forgive you. What? That's in the play of the world. If that's necessary, everybody who's lost a parent and their last words were not nice can never know that they were loved. What? No, 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 no. So that's a trip. That's a trip of the ego. You know, I appreciate the sentiment and everything, but it would not be A Course in Miracles to do it that way. Get the forgiveness that way, where you say something to them and they get it, and they say something back before they die. That's not the story.
Can you also repeat what you said on miserable is he who expects kindness, and then joy?
And happy is he who is kind. I love the math there. It's Course in Miracles math.
So, you know, that, I mean, this is on track with my same everywhere at the moment, which is the thing I feel least is receiving back kindness in those really close relationships.
Yeah.
And yet I think of myself as a kind person, you know, going out.
Here's the same saying that applies more specifically to your situation. It is, miserable is he who seeks to be understood. Happy is he who chooses to understand. Isn't that a wonderful coin to flip?
I like it.
Good. Julie, what is vision to you? And of course,
wait. Before you go away, could I just bring up one little piece in that?
Your name. Okay, that's fair.
What's that?
Yes, please do.
Okay. No, because this has been part of what I've dealt with. And I just give up the story and go to, you know, seeing the highest in them, seeing the light being that they are.
Yes.
But I puzzle with they have this big story that they've held on about me. And I was thinking, well, do I just say, oh, I'm so sorry that I made you feel, do I even acknowledge it? And is it affecting our intimacy? Because it's a daughter-in-law.
It's a daughter. You know? Okay. Or a daughter-in-law even. Yes. A family member. This is what you call long-term relationships.
Yeah.
Okay, so for long-term relationships, ones you would like to continue to have, this is somebody with whom you would choose to join. So this is where you seek not to be understood, but seek to understand. So you would not go to her and tell her your version. You would ask her her version. And get her to really speak it out. And you may be surprised what she actually says. Do not defend yourself. Do not go in with any thought that you're going to say how you see it. Okay. Seek to understand first fully. And the Holy Spirit will guide you to use her words to speak your truth. Because once you show yourself as not defending yourself, she'll probably tell you a few more things.
Yeah, yeah, and that's what I've been doing, and it's been good. Yet I can feel a little. It feels like there should be a clearing, and so I have a question mark about just not. But thank you. That was kind of what I had come to. Just
yes.
To say, you know, I want to have the as close a relationship we can have, and I think I need to hear what you've gone through with this.
That's it, and have your Holy Spirit go with you, and make sure you read page 28, the italics, right before you go to talk to
her. Okay, thank you.
Good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Julie, what's a vision to you?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Ross said something about not using a quote, and I didn't know we weren't supposed to use a quote. When I got,
oh, yeah, terrible punishment if you do. Zoom allows me to put 75 volts through your screen. I just wanted to be personal. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
of course, it's pretty personal for you, so
it is. I mean, I could say something after, but the quote that was really in my head was, "I do not know what anything is. I do not know what anything, including this, means, and so I do not know how to respond to it. And I will not use my own past learning as the light to guide me now." And this is like just for me. Like helps me get out of the illusion and helps me access vision.
Yes, so. Helps me get out of the illusion. That's the orientation we're talking about. Vision, it's not that you see the truth. It's not that you're suddenly in heaven and everything's roses. Vision allows you to get out of the illusion by seeing the false as false. It's really what vision is. Look, here in the world of material time, space, you know, bodies and everything else, revelation is not what, that's the kind of thing some people think vision is. And maybe it is in other teachings, that visions are revelation. And then they would define a miracle differently as well, wouldn't they? That a miracle was a revelation of God's truth, and that you would see, you know, some vision, some apparition. Now, that's not how we use it in the Course of Miracles. The job we're doing with the Course of Miracles is just as you say, Julie, to not be staring at the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
That is the work. Those are the actual steps that relieve you from the burden of ego.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go look at that sentence. We should probably do it every time we have a meeting. Look at page 338, paragraph 6. What are we doing? What is this Course in Miracles actually? What is our job as we do lessons, we read the text, we do the meditations, and then we go out and live with our family and our jobs and, you know, the work? What are we doing? Paragraph 6.
Can you give me a text reference?
You bet. No. This is chapter 16, section 4. The illusion and the reality of love is the title of this section. It's page 338 in the text. And Julie, if you would please read us that paragraph. What a gift this is. This is your job. This is what you're doing with A Course in Miracles. And your job description is here. Please, Julie.
Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all of the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. It is not necessary to seek for what is true, but it is necessary to seek for what is false. Every illusion is one of fear, whatever form it takes, and the attempt to escape from one illusion into another must fail. If you seek love outside yourself, you can be certain that you have perceived hatred within and are afraid of it. Yet peace will never come from the illusion of love, but only from its reality.
Nice. And in that paragraph, I would like to point out to you sentence 4. Sentence 4 is ego busting. Sentence 4 is Jesus saying, look, I know you've tried this before, and if you think about it, you've failed many times to attempt to escape from one illusion into another. That's one, that's taking the guilt, let's say, the guilt off of yourself in a loving, special relationship difficulty where you thought you were the problem, and then your ego got clever. It says, wait a minute, you called your friend, and they said, hey, it's really not you, it's them. They're the problem. That would be and you feel better. That's escaping from one illusion into another. It's a horizontal move. There's no spiritual advance at all. That's what vision is for. It's to actually escape the illusion level. Look at miracle principle number 2. Julie, you read that for us when you get there?
Miracles, as such, do not matter. The only thing that matters is their source, which is far beyond evaluation.
Wow. And what could the source of miracles be? Well, we learn it in Miracle Principle 1. Do we read for us 1 now?
There is no order of difficulty in miracles. One is not harder or bigger than another. They are all the same. All expressions of love are maximal.
That last sentence, all expressions of love are maximal. Then you read two and you say, look, miracles actually don't matter. The only thing that matters is the source, which we just learned is love, which is far beyond evaluation. Read for us Miracle Principle 3 now, Julie.
Miracles occur naturally as expressions of love. The real miracle is the love that inspires them. In this sense, everything that comes from love is a miracle.
Wow! That's the kind of thinking I want to do. That's why I'm even reading this book. Good. And the way it's done, and we just read on page 338, is not to seek for love. Let the love work. The love that's true already. So your job is to remove the barriers that you've placed between yourself and love. And that's a great use for vision.
Can I ask a question? Because I think this has to do with one of my questions about the believing the unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm going to read it. But having accepted the errors as yours, do not keep them. Give them over quickly to the Holy Spirit to be undone completely, so that all their effects will vanish from your mind and from the sonship as a whole. So somehow or another, that's when you talked about vision, that's what I was wondering how that had to do with it.
You got it. You got it. You got it. Okay, so I don't want to spill the beans in case somebody's going to say this aspect of it. But you're on absolutely on the right track, and let's continue the roundup before I do any more speaking myself.
Can I say, would you let me know when you get to that part where you're saying, okay, thank you.
Yes. Yeah, or at the end, I'll just come back and address you. Okay, so Masako, tell us about vision.
I have a short one here.
Okay.
It's the recognition of the light within.
Nice. Yes, recognition. Such a nice word, isn't it? Recognize. Or if you look at the Latin root, re-know. As though you knew before, but somehow forgot, meaning it was still true, always true, and you just decided to know it again. Oh, how natural is that? Beautiful. Thank you, Masako. Jason, talk to us about vision.
I can be honest and say I don't know, but I have thoughts about it. One thought is that I need to join with the Holy Spirit to have vision, and vision is a prerequisite to knowledge, and knowledge, of course, is, I think, only preceded by the invitation from God for the last step. I don't know. So I see vision as kind of a camera, just seeing everything and taking it in without the storyline. I don't know how...
Without the storyline is important for you, Jason.
Yeah.
That phrase is very important, and I think you should stop right there.
Great.
Yes! To see it without the storyline. You can still see it. You don't have to close your eyes. But you do have to remove that additional ego interpretation. Good. Judy, tell us about vision.
Well, I started out by flunking your question, and I still can't, I didn't ever come up with an answer. I can tell you what my brain was doing. I could not get out of my mind a lesson I did 3 weeks ago, which is God is love and so am I. I could not get past it. I kept saying, Judy, your assignment is vision. Wait a minute. And that's
it occurred to you that's your Holy Spirit trying to give you the answer?
I don't know. I just kept thinking, I'm going to flunk this question because I cannot. And I probably the closest I got was visualizing myself having that love in my center, going out to my extremities and then out into the world. And that's the vision I have of me as love.
As love. As love.
As love, yeah. But, I mean, I didn't answer your vision question.
I think you did.
Perfect. Oh, did I?
That is it. You can circle around that. And
okay.
What a gift. What a gift. That's from your Holy Spirit. Very good.
Yeah.
No, ego was not allowed. I loved it. You kept with the... I remember one of the things I said, and it's important for everybody, is that when you address such a question like this, whether it's vision, salvation, love, forgiveness, miracle, any of these big tools of A Course in Miracles, vision, whatever comes to your mind as your next highest use, that's what vision is to you today. And that's what it is to you, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's absolutely wonderful news. We're all celebrating with you.
Okay.
Tim, tell us what vision is in A Course in Miracles.
The vision is the raft that takes me from the one shore to the other where I will no longer need it anymore.
Nice. Nice. Excellent. It is exactly that. It's not the end. Vision is not the goal. Vision is a tool like a raft to cross a stream of chaotic thoughts and witnessing of separation. But with vision, you can go right through. Well said. Love it. Laura. Tim.
No, just put this in. God is my strength. Vision is his gift.
Yes. Yes.
So vision is the tool granted me by God in my recognition.
Yes. Good. Good. A good, sharp tool for this job. I love it. Laura, tell us about vision.
No, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now. I can't
okay.
hear you.
So what came up for me is vision is looking beyond the world of form.
Nice.
So not looking at what the body in front of you may be doing or saying. It's looking beyond that to see the truth of who they are.
Yes.
Yeah. And I've enjoyed everybody's answers. I wanted to say that I've been really enjoying hearing everybody. Thank you.
Good, good, good. Okay, everybody, let's jump in and have Jesus chat. Oh, Luann. So, yes, and as you can hear from Laura's answer and Tim's answer and Julie, everybody's answer, indeed, vision is the effect of a miracle. Right? A shift in perception so that you can go from wrong thinking to right thinking. Go from chaos to order, from darkness to light. So that it's, and as you describe in that section, what the Course is asking you to do is responsibility for sight, to take responsibility for what you are thinking. And then spot the error that it leads to either chaos or jealousy or guilt or fear, and notice that that's you. That's you putting that flavor on there. Vision allows you then to see through it and say, this is just my mind dreaming of fear or jealousy or whatever, and drop it. Dropping it is forgiveness. Forgiveness is a result, successful forgiveness, okay, is a result of a miracle. A miracle is a shift in perception. Vision is a shift in perception. Vision is a miracle. Good. Make sense?
That's what came to me from the ending when I finished with that bit was the whole going to the Holy Spirit with it and letting it go means I'm letting go of it and undoing that thought.
Yes. Good. Good, 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 good. Yes, yes, yes. Okay, everybody, go to page 441 and look at paragraph 8. And we'll go right into what Laura said. where we would see beyond form. Indeed.
Okay, this is...
Oh, yes. Chapter 20.
Chapter 20, okay.
And you're first up to read, Miley, so it's appropriate you get on the ball here.
Okay.
Chapter 20, Section 7, the consistency of means and end. And then go to the end of it, the last two paragraphs. Start with the second to the last.
Okay, wait. You're going. I'm flipping around trying to find Chapter 20, Section 7. Sorry.
If you want, you can press on the search, the little magnifying glass.
Right. It'll only let me do the chapter, though. It won't let me do the section, which is annoying.
Okay, but you can search on your magnifying glass and type in words, right?
Yeah.
So type in body cannot be looked.
Oh, okay.
And that'll take you right to it.
Body
cannot be looked. Only place in the course those words show up.
All right, there we go. 27, 8, okay. The body cannot be looked upon except through judgment. I want to read that one more time.
Sure.
The body cannot be looked upon except through judgment.
Period.
Excellent. To see the body is the sign that you lack vision. That kind of goes back to my vision experience of meditation.
Yes,
and have denied the means the Holy Spirit offers you to serve his purpose. How can a holy relationship achieve its purpose through the means of sin? Judgment you taught yourself. Vision is learned from him. Oh, vision is learned from him who would undo your teaching. His vision cannot see the body because it cannot look on sin. And thus it leads you to reality. Your holy brother, sight of whom is your release, is no illusion. Attempt to see him not in darkness, for your imaginings about him will seem real there. You closed your eyes to shut him out. Such was your purpose, and while this purpose seems to have a meaning, the means for its attainment will be evaluated as worth the seeing, and so you will not see.
Boy, this is for you, Miley.
Yeah, isn't it? Did you do that on purpose?
Okay, let's dig into this paragraph a little bit. First thing,
can you give me another word for sin? I always have a little trouble when we get into sin.
Yes. Okay, anybody?
Oh, mistake. Mistake.
Okay, mistake. True. But of course...
Lack of love.
What?
Lack of love. Lack of love.
Lack of love. What else is sin?
I call it separation.
Bingo. Separation. Who said that? Yes, Judy.
I did.
So throughout A Course in Miracles, there's only one... The Course in Miracles says many times, there is no sin. As many times as it uses the word sin, it's in that sentence, there is no sin. And yet, it's using it here specifically because we're 450 pages in and it thinks you read the other 439. So, Judy's got it. You learn after a while that Course in Miracles shorthand for separation is the word sin.
Okay.
And it does it, I think. Jesus uses that word, for especially for all of us Catholic-exposed people, for its dramatic effect. There's only one thing, one thought you can have that would measure up to the way the church teaches as what would be a sin. A sin is an unforgivable mistake, right? A mistake is not a sin. Right? A mistake is just a mistake. But when you call it sin, that means you really shouldn't have done it. And what somebody in heaven was watching and the devil was made happy and you're going to pay for it with karma. says the ego. That, now that's a sin, right? That's what really the ego wants you to take away from the word sin. That's why you don't have that word on your license plate of your car, right? Or in a, you don't want to be known as a sinner. That just wouldn't be good in any circle. So that's why Course in Miracles uses it, because the ego loves it. It loves the idea of sin, an unforgivable mistake that you have to atone for in the worst ways. You have to be punished appropriately, and maybe you'll go to hell and pay for your sin, says the ego. Course says, there's no sin. That's just part of your dream of separation. Just trying to enforce this this whole separate reality as true. So you can use the word separation every time you see the word sin in A Course in Miracles, and the sentence flows perfectly, and it's the meaning. It's the meaning of the teaching.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Because I have trouble when I hit sins, part of me starts to shut down.
That's so perfect. That's the reason why it's there, to make you look at it.
Yeah.
And the more you love A Course in Miracles, the more you come up with what I just said on your own. You know, the more experience you have with the workbook and such, you'll see that word and you'll go, oh, I know what he really means. Because that's what the whole book says over and over and over and over and over again. One problem, one solution. Separation.
Yeah, I haven't been on those sections for a while, and it's interesting how they can slip away.
Sure, and the ego can slip back in and drive.
Yeah, it sure can.
Okay. All right, so the first thing Jesus does is kind of makes this personal and hammers you a bit. This is a little insulting, really. He gets going here. First, he says, look, he's trying to get your attention with these very strongly worded sentences in paragraph 8. Very strongly worded. The body cannot be looked upon except through judgment, period. That seems severe, doesn't it? Do you think Jesus really meant this? You can't possibly look on a body except through judgment?
Well, I'm not a body, so it's okay.
Wow! That a girl. And if you're not a body, which it drills into your head, unless it's 220 through 240 over and over and over and over and over again, neither is anybody else.
Right.
So, you got it.
I'm okay with it.
Damn straight. You got to be okay with it. Because if you do see a body, then you must be thinking that's real. And therefore, separation in some type is real. And therefore, they have an identity invested. They, whoever they are, have an identity invested in their body. And therefore, so do you. Yep. Do you see the circle winding the wrong way?
Mm-hmm.
Good, Judy. Excellent. Good. So that's what he's saying here. It's exactly what he's saying here. He's trying to warm you up to this radical, radical teaching. The fact is you're not a body, and there is no entity out there that is the body. Pretty tough thing to learn, really, when you get hungry, you get tired, and your own daughter-in-law says that nasty thing that just gets right under your skin. God, how could she say that? I'm so nice. Right. That's the one. The body cannot be looked upon except through judgment. Okay? So what this means is when you see the body, if you think you're also seeing the essence of that person, you're judging.
Right. And you lack vision.
That a girl. Right. Absolutely right, Judy.
Okay, well, you just said some fighting words, Andrew. The daughter-in-law, it can't drop a story from 15 years ago. It was like it happened yesterday when I was talking to her.
Yes.
And in the moment, I kept my mouth shut, and I talked to my son later. He said, that was so helpful for her to clear that. I said, oh, good, because it sure got me stirred. I didn't even say that to him because he doesn't need to hear it. But it was like,
drop it. You know, we can't do that, though, right? Say, look, you're carrying a story.
Yep. You can't run from it. If dropping it was the answer, just dropping it.
Yeah.
That's like the world's definition of forgiveness, which is, hey, you did something horrible to me, but I'm just not going to punish you because I love you. You did something, the world says, you did something horrible to me, but I'm going to forgive you. It means I'm not going to punish you the way that you deserve to be punished. Why? Because I love you. I just punched you twice and kissed you once. You're going to feel punched. It's a lie. It's a lie. To just drop it because she thinks it's real and you think she thinks it's real. Forgiveness does not mean that you drop something you think is real.
All right. It's dropping it is already, I'm in ego language and ego stance.
I just want you to see that. Good.
Okay. So, Andrew, what is the error then that we need to give up to the Holy Spirit in that thought?
Yes, well, that's the point, is you need to go look at the error right from your section, Luann, and that's what she's going to do when she goes and talks to her daughter and says, tell me about this. She's going to seek to understand, not to be understood. Miley is going to seek to put her granddaughters or daughter-in-law, to put her daughter-in-law's happiness as the goal for her meeting. Understand what the daughter-in-law felt, saw, thought, etc. Understand that. Don't look for the solution. Don't look for the love. Look for the barrier that's been constantly been put up over and over again for 15 years.
But what I'm not sure I got this right from Miley, but it seems like, for me, it seems like when I try to do that for somebody, I still get the feeling that the error is the feeling I have left in me.
It's you, right?
Yes.
That's why you can do it. That's why you can do it. It's the barrier is not in her, it's in you.
That's what I'm saying. What is the barrier then at that point? You listen to them, you understand them, and you feel like, oh, for God's sake.
Because we're still hanging on to the story.
Yes, you are. You're still hanging on to the story, and you're hanging on.
No, what I'm hanging on to is the fact that they're holding on to the story.
You're hanging on to their right. Hanging on to the story means something.
Yeah.
What is it two? Yeah, I think it's lesson two. Everybody flip into the workbook real quick. And look how the Course in Miracles goes right at this level of work. No, it's not two. It's not two. It's three. Look at lesson three. I do not understand anything I see. Oh, those are fighting words. See, you got this story in place because you think you understand her and the way what she thinks about you. And she thinks she understands you and what you meant by what you did 15 years ago. And she's...
And lesson five, Andrew, lesson five, I'm never upset for the reason I think.
Oh yeah, Judy. And don't skip four.
I know,
don't mean anything. Thoughts that the ego is trying to enforce for 15 years, they don't mean anything. Imagine.
So what I'm trying to say is her story, the now I understand, has no meaning, so there's no point in my feeling like she's judging me or something like that.
You bet. And when you have that miracle, which is a shift in perception, when that occurs, your shoulders are going to drop, your eyes are going to open as you listen to her tell her story. She will feel your non-judgment. Right now, every time you bring this up, Miley, she feels judged. And she has to defend herself. And it's ugly. But when you allow the Holy Spirit to translate this, and you can use these first lessons as a way to do the translation before you meet her.
Right.
And then read page 28.
But you go, well, when you and I first talked, I got it. And I was clear and clean, and I saw them, and I just went, wow, their life really got thrown off by this family thing that went on. And, wow, they, you know, they have a right to whatever they felt about that. And it was just clean, and it was good.
Yes.
And then it was like moss started to grow after a month or something, you know, or a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
In my own head.
Yes.
Yeah.
By your willingness to become present with her and non-judgmental, you don't need anything fixed, she will see that you are disarmed over this topic, and she will disarm herself too.
Mm.
Your Holy Spirit will coach you through this. Will tell you, Holy Spirit will tell you what to say and when.
Right.
So back to my problem with this.
Okay, yes, thank you. It's helpful.
Well, tell me what to say and what to think.
Yeah.
You say think?
Yeah, think and do.
And do. Okay.
It's lesson 71.
Okay, that's my problem is how do I think about it rather than... Because
well, you don't. You're the problem. The whole
well, I know.
Been thinking about it. That is the problem. You now need to upgrade your mind to Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit do the thinking for you. Okay. Turn to lesson 71 real quick, which is on page
121.
Yes, thank you. And then flip to 122.
Andrew Huang, actually, do you know that the book resets three times? The page numbers? Okay.
Good. Thank you, Julie. Sure appreciate that. So look at page 122 in the workbook. And, you know, this lesson is only God's plan for salvation will work. The whole problem is your whole life, until Course in Miracles anyway, until your spiritual awakenings have occurred, maybe that was before Course in Miracles, but your whole plan was you and your ego and your learning and whatever you thought you knew how to navigate. That's been the whole problem. So now, with Course in Miracles, you're going to access the light in the dream. You are now going to become the light in the dream instead of the maker of darkness. And you understand that only God's plan for salvation will work, and you're going to fire the ego. But how? How do you do this with your world? How do you do this with a daughter-in-law hanging on to a story for 15 years? Oh, my God. How do you do this? Here's how you do this. Workbook, baby. Look at paragraph 9. On page 122. And, you know, you would read this lesson, of course, but I just want to show you how specific it is. It really does. You have to fire the ego. Fire the ego. He says, remembering what we're discussing about, well, escaping the way of the ego. Remembering this, devote the remainder of your practice periods to asking God to reveal his plan to us. That means you don't know in that moment, Miley, what to say to her.
Right.
And you don't have the answer now, what you're going to say then.
Right.
Let God's plan do it real time. That means you're going to need to trust. And that page 28 will really help you get yourself in the right situation to do this.
Well, I say this almost daily.
Oh, good.
In the morning, I kind of have a vision of what I'd like for my day.
Yes.
And I do the, you know, if I make no decisions for myself, this is the kind of day I'll have.
And then
what would you have me do? What would you have me say? Where would you have me go? What would you have me say and to whom? Perfect. I mean, that's a constant.
That's it.
Daily. Yeah.
Good. Good. That's the way you step back and let the Holy Spirit lead the way. And then just, we're running out of time, so I'm going to rush us a little bit. Look at a few sentences later, sentence 7. It says, he, the Holy Spirit, will answer in proportion to, drum roll, your willingness to hear his voice. And that's really, you know, it's God will answer in proportion to your willingness to hear God's voice, the voice for God.
That's fine print right there.
Yes, it is, Julie. Thank you. Yes, it is. Refuse not to hear. The very fact that you're doing the exercises proves that you have some willingness to listen. Oh, good. That's like you're saved. If you made it this far, you must be willing. Yeah, you're going to make it, baby. You're going to make it. This is enough to establish your claim to God's answer. Isn't that great news? Just be willing. But don't think you already know. That's the ego jumping in. Okay, we just have 9 minutes, just enough time to not really do what we're going to do on page 441 in the text. Page 441 in the text, he's hitting us over the head with the body cannot be looked upon except through judgment. He says again, to see the body, to see that body is the sign that you lack vision and have denied the means the Holy Spirit offers you to serve his purpose. And when he says see the body, he means see the body as the essence of this person. That's what he means. See, the body is actually neutral. It's nothing to even look at with meaning. Right? Now, and then he says it again, how can a holy relationship achieve its purpose through the means of separation? Oh, did you see what I did there? Switched in separation for sin, and it's the teaching of A Course in Miracles. How can a holy relationship, holy comes from the word W-H-O-L-Y, whole, or meaning relating to one, or oneness. How can a oneness relationship achieve its purpose through the means of separation, which is the body? Judgment, okay, that you taught yourself. But vision is learned from your right mind, the translator, the corrector of all things of this world, of your mind. The Holy Spirit, him who would undo your ego teaching. That's his only job. So vision actually undoes, right? Vision does not do. Vision does not suddenly make or bring love into the situation. It removes the block to the awareness of love's presence. Then, of course, love is suddenly there. His vision cannot see the body because it cannot look on separation. And thus, his vision leads you to reality. See that? Perfectly worded. How, you got to love a book that's so consistent. Man, look at that short sentence, right? Sentence 6. And thus, vision leads you to reality. Vision does not show you reality. You see how consistent this is? Vision is a tool. It's not the goal. Your experience is the goal. More on that later. Your holy brother, sight of whom is your release, sight of your holy brother, not your unholy brother, would take vision. Sight of your holy brother would need a miracle. Because if you just use your body's eyes, you're going to be using judgment. This is the burden of this paragraph. Amazingly consistent, but how serious is this teaching? To help you understand that Jesus knows what you are about to do if you don't use the Holy Spirit as a habit. You will judge. You will see the body. You will instantly judge. But if you use vision, if you call on the Holy Spirit, this now brings light, brings understanding. Your holy brother, sight of whom is your release, is no illusion. Attempt to see him not in darkness, for your imaginings, that's the story, right? The story is the imaginings. Your story that you would lay on with judgment, your imaginings about him will seem real in the darkness. And they do seem real. You remember, they remember, you rehearse the story over again, there's shouting, there's tears, there's anger. and you feel those pangs of guilt in your heart. Seems real enough, right? That's because you followed the ego's imaginings and story. But when you apply vision, before you go into an argument with a loved one, and you want to have a holy relationship instead of an unholy relationship, it's really good to step back for a moment, take a breath, and say, Holy Spirit, help me see this differently. Let me be truly helpful in this interaction and truly understand and not defend myself. Yeah, it changes everything. But this would take vision. This would take a miracle. That's why this paragraph is here. It's really critical. And when you make a habit out of this in all your interactions, big and small, whether it's a construction worker in your driveway or it's a family member, it works on all these different level of interactions to bring love now and understanding. Clarity comes with vision. And chaos diminishes. And suddenly what was going to be an ugly discussion with that contractor actually becomes a meeting. It becomes a joining. There's a little more love in your life. You wouldn't need a miracle for that. But that's what we're doing here. And then he just hits you over the head again. Look, you close your eyes. You close your eyes to shut him out, your brother. Such was your was your purpose in the special relationship. And while this purpose seems to have meaning, the means for its attainment will be evaluated as worth the seeing. And so you will not see, and you will yet again attack and defend. Unless you call on vision. And you know the way to vision is to turn to the light in your mind instead of the darkness. It's a huge paragraph. We could spend all night on it. But we have 3 minutes to cover the next paragraph. So let's do it. Let's see. Who's up? Jacqueline, would you read for us paragraph 9?
Your question should not be, how can I see my brother without the body? Ask only, do I really wish to see him sinless? And you ask, forget not that his sinlessness is your escape from fear. Oh, and as you ask, yes. Forget not that his sinless is your escape from fear. Salvation is the Holy Spirit's goal. The means is vision, for what the seen look upon is sinless. No one who loves can judge. And what he sees is free of condemnation. And what he sees he did not make, for it was given him to see, as was the vision that made his seeing possible.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Jacqueline. Okay, so look what Jesus did here. Look at the invitation to seeing what this tool can do. He says, first he stops your ego dead. Because after reading the previous paragraph, your ego is all tied up in a knot, fighting words, saying, how can I not see the body? I see a body first, and then how can I not? Look, he says, calm down in paragraph 9. He says, your question should not be, how can I see my brother without a body? Come on. He says, stay with me here. Stay with me, Jesus. Don't ask that question. Get to the heart of what we're learning with A Course in Miracles. Ask the more important question so that you can start having the Holy Spirit do the translation, which is why we're really here. He says, meditate, right? Do I really wish to see him? That SOB that said what they said, that one. Do I wish to see him sinless? Now that's something you really, for the most important relationships in your life, whether it's a 15-year-long story, there's guilt that you've been carrying, or guilt that you think they've been carrying for years. This is really something, that sentence, it's the same sentence as what is this for, right? You know, somewhere else, elsewhere in the Course in Miracles has you ask that very personal question. Same thing is really going on right here, right now. Offering you a tool to have a chaotic relationship translated. Did you hear that? Converting an unholy or ego-filled or competitive or guiltful relationship translated to one of love, to a holy encounter. It is invited with these words. But you got a meaning with everything you got. Otherwise, you're just trying, right? And the ego's probably going to win. Sorry for you. It's been the story of your life until now. Because now you have a guide with 365 easy-to-follow lessons to help you get your mind ready to do such an act as this. Such an act as having somebody you blame for not being loving, for not understanding your loving nature. Somebody you blame for not doing their part. Something like that. The cure comes with such a sentence as sentence right here in paragraph 9, sentence 2. Do I really wish to see him sinless? Innocent. Do I really wish to see them perfectly innocent? Doesn't that just call on your heart? Doesn't it call on you to join with them rather than to compete in any way? This will evoke the Holy Spirit and angels to surround you in your efforts to join rather than to separate. When you learn to do this consistently, you will simply climb toward the light and you will become a light of the world in a pretty dark world otherwise. Isn't that beautiful?
Andrew, can I say something?
Yes, please.
Okay. So you are reading sentence 3, right?
Sentence 2, sentence 3, yeah.
Beautiful. I think that sentence is the most powerful, and it really speaks to me. Because I think you just said that a minute ago. Let's see, forget not that his sinlessness is your escape from fear. So what they're talking about is letting go and uniting, because in that uniting, you go home.
Yes, yes, because if they are guilty and the source of your loss, you're going to stay here because they got the power, not you.
Yeah.
If they are sinful, in other words, if they are an example of separation, drum roll, separation remains real for you. And that means you want to continue the dream of separation. That's how important this short little sentence is. And that's why it calls on the Holy Spirit. When you say, do I really want to see him sinless? And by his sinlessness is your freedom. There you go. Because we're undoing the separation with something that counts. It's not enough to read this book. It's not enough to memorize the whole book. You have to actually take things that are real to you, things you're hanging on to, people, stories, and have them translated. This is the undoing. This is the undoing of things you think are real. Because you count. You are an extension of the one mind, so you count. And this world is a place now for you to undo your wrong thinking, which will continue until you choose to not do it. This is one of the most powerful ways to do it. Innocence. It's the opposite of sin. Sinlessness means that it's not that they're just not guilty this time, right? Sinlessness means that sin isn't even possible. That would take a miracle. That would take a shift in perception about what they actually are. That's why it says in the beginning of these paragraphs, the body's a distraction. The body's a way for you not to see them. So if you see the body as them, you're stuck. You're not using vision. You're not calling on the Holy Spirit. You're not even calling for correction. You're just keeping the story. Can you believe all that's in these two paragraphs? Oh my God. What a wonderful book. And then, you know, have some more beautiful words to follow up. That's the import. It's really a gift to be able to call on that, those few words, before you have an interaction with somebody that you've got a difficulty with. But let's just close the meeting by looking at the rest of the paragraph real quick here. Because as you ask, forget not that his sinlessness is your escape from fear. That's how important it is. Salvation is the Holy Spirit's goal. The means of salvation is, drum roll, vision, like all of you said. It's the means. It's the raft to get you across from difficulty to peace where you want to go. No one who loves can judge. Oh, I love that. I love that quick definition of what love is like. And what he sees is free of condemnation. Yes, what he sees now that it's holy. And what he sees, he did not make. Because he did make it before. The ego made what your eyeballs saw of your brother. Thank you. Thank everybody. Those are two really important paragraphs. I'm glad we got to cover them. Thank you for sharing all of your uses of vision. It's very instructive. And we're going to move on to another section next week. Because that's how we roll. We just rip through this book page after page. Can't stop us.
Thanks for your work.
You're welcome.
Two paragraphs at a time. Thank you.
That's better than one.
I think it rips through it sentence by sentence, and sometimes it's word by word.
I know. We're rushing. The amazing thing is, you know, thanks to you, thanks to everybody here who cares about understanding this, it feels like we're rushing. Even though we only did two paragraphs, you guys really care, and I appreciate that. Good, good.